Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. We got Brother Luke Farrell on the line here this morning, and Luke's a driver out of Tennessee down there, hauls feed, Arena Feeds, and works for Brother Chris. Anyway, he's giving a message or two up there, and he's going to bless us this morning. We'll just give it to you now, Luke, at this point. Let you have it. Glad to have you, brother.
Good morning, everybody. I'd like to start out this morning by going to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just come to you this morning, and we just ask you to put a hedge of protection over around everyone that's maybe listening this morning, Lord. Give me the words that need to be spoken, Lord. I just ask you to send your anointing down and let it flow out of my mouth the way it needs to be said, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When I first started trying to think about what I was going to talk about today, I didn't have much of an idea after I spoke last time. I started to pray about it, and the Lord kept telling me, look at yourself. And over the period of the past week or two, I had a couple conversations, and I had been listening to the radio, and it had come to me that twice the same day that a lot of times when a message is given by somebody, that message is intended as much for them as it is for somebody that may be listening. So I began to look at myself and what I had been going through since the last time I spoke, and the devil had been working on me real, real hard. I had been looking at a lot of doubt. You know, do I have any business doing this? You know, there ain't no sense in me doing this. I'm just going to mess everything up and do more damage than good. And it really weighed on me really hard for the past few weeks. And I had had two messages that I had listened to over the past couple weeks. And it kept coming to me as the same thing. It's the story of David and Goliath. And I want to start out. I got several scriptures here to read over this morning. I want to start out in 1 Samuel chapter 17 with the third verse. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So, you know, what I was looking at on this was kind of what I was going through, intimidation. You know, here comes this giant out against Israel's army. Israel's army has been, you know, I'm sure had fought numerous wars and battles. So their soldiers were not afraid to fight. You know, they were lined up ready to battle the Philistines. But when this giant came out, which, you know, I have heard that depending on what you read in that, anywhere from 7 to 8 foot up to 12 or 13 feet. But either way you look at it, you know, this man is towering above everybody else. And I'm sure this was a huge man covered in all his armor. And I'm sure his voice, real deep voice, powerful voice, and looking at him from their, from where they're at facing the battle, I'm sure they had heard rumors of his reputation, him being a champion, and what he had done to other armies and how they had just ran over him. You know, Israel's army was just scared. They went running. You know, they had fought so many times and had not ever been scared because they had the power of God. But when they seen Goliath step out on the battlefield and make these comments, he intimidated them, the whole land of Israel, the king, all the soldiers, so much that they were afraid and refused to fight. Can you imagine looking out at something that is that intimidating to you? You know, that's what the devil wants to do. The whole goal of the devil is to strike fear in you and cause you to try to deter you from whatever it is that you're doing. I looked up the definition of intimidation, and the definition of intimidation is to make timid or fearful, frightened, to compel to deter by as if by threats. You know, that's all Goliath did was make threats. He never pulled his sword out. He never throwed a punch. He never did anything. He just got up there and hollered at them and intimidated them so bad that they didn't even want to fight. They were afraid. And I'm sure, you know, the war stories, I'm sure they had heard, you know, already had doubts in their mind when they seen him. And, you know, the devil, I'm sure, just grabbed that and ran with it. You know, how many times have you ever been facing something that looks so small, and then when it comes over time, over a period of a short time, you may have just a few doubts in your head. You may just, somebody may say something that plants just that one little bitty seed in your head, and the devil will grab that. That's all he needs is one little thought, one doubt, and he's going to grab that and he's going to start twisting it. He's going to start pulling it. He's going to start working it until this little bitty seed just starts to grow. And this little seed can grow so big that it's so overwhelming that it just, you're so intimidated by it that you cannot do anything about it. It just beats you down. I'm going to skip on over to verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to a trench, and the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of a keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came to consulted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up, surely to defy Israel? Is he come up, and it shall be, that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke to the men and stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know, David comes up and is there to see his brothers. And when Goliath comes out and starts making this comment like he has done for, you know, 39 other days, this is the 40th day that he comes out and makes this comment. And, you know, the rest of them have sat there and listened to it and are beaten down and are afraid of him. Even the king is afraid of him. And when David hears this, David is like, do what? You know, who is this man that is going to come up here and defy the army of the living God? You know, look at what all God has already done. You know, the rest of the soldiers and the king and everybody had forgotten that he had delivered them out of the slavery of Egypt. But they had forgotten that he parted the Red Sea. They had forgotten that he gave them water from the rock. You know, all this stuff God had done for them and much more. But when they saw Goliath, they were so intimidated. Everything that God had done for them, they forgot. They quit looking through their eyes of faith, the backing of God. And when David heard this, David was like, no, this guy ain't going to come up here and defy the army of the living God. David is still walking in the faith. He didn't intimidate David. You know, this is a child. You know, David was just a shepherd boy at this time. But even at that, he did not allow this giant to deter him, to intimidate him like the rest of them did. Now skip on over to 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put the helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth rocks from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was just a youth, and ruddy, and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David and his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me, I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the land. Then David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you, to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So, you see, you know, David's not afraid of him. You know, David, after he talked to the army, before he went to Saul, you know, he was asked, you know, what will he get for this? And, you know, he went over and he talked to King Saul. Nobody else wanted to go out and battle this man. David walked into King Saul's tent, and it says his knees were smiting together. He was shaking so bad his knees were hitting together. Saul was afraid. You know, Saul is supposed to be the man that is not afraid. He's the king. He's the leader of the whole you know, country of Israel there. And all the armies, everybody's under his command. But even Saul was so intimidated by him, he was shaking. And here comes this shepherd boy in, and says, you know, send me. I will go battle this Philistine. And Saul's like, sure, you know, we'll send you out there and let you fight him. But Saul tells him, you know, I'll give you my armor and my sword. And he puts it on David. And David, I'm sure David was lost with this because he had never been trained in all this. You know, David had slew a lion and a bear that had come after his flock. David knew what he was capable of doing with a slingshot. That David knew he had the faith that he would be able to beat this Philistine just like he did the lion, just like he did the bear, with the faith of God, with God behind him. David looked at this Philistine, Goliath, through the eyes of faith. Where Saul and everybody of Israel and the armies was looking through him, at him with the eyes of the world, with human eyes. David was looking with the eyes of faith. He knew that God backing him was bigger than this giant and this entire army. He knew what this would do, what he could do. David walked down to the brook, and he picked him up 5 stones and walked out on that battlefield. And you know, where David walked out on that battlefield, the rest of the army would run and hide when Goliath would walk out. David took that 1 stone and started spinning that slingshot over his head. When he let it go, it hit that giant right between eyes. It says the giant fell. David took the sword of Goliath and cut Goliath's head off. And the Palestinian army fled. They ran. They saw what Israel's army wasn't seeing when David walked out there. When he killed Goliath, they saw the power of God. If the Israels would have stood on faith, things would have been totally different. But they didn't. And that's where David stepped in and stepped up and did what he did. You know, the devil will take anything that he can do to try to take you down, to make you so intimidated that you cannot function. His whole goal is to steal, kill, and destroy you. And he enjoys it, and he's good at it. You know, he's had a couple thousand years to work on fine-tuning his skills with this. The devil can tear you down without even touching you. How many times has he done this to people that has battled cancer, that's battled alcohol, drugs, you know, anything of the world? He will take it, he will twist it, he will put doubt in your mind. And, you know, a lot of people, when they find out, say they got cancer, soon as they find out, the devil puts so much doubt and intimidation in them that they just lay down and die. You know, if they would just look, you know, okay, I've got this spot of cancer, or I've got this problem with alcohol, or, you know, I've got this problem with drugs, but if I put this in God's hands and I listen to God and I rely on God, God can and will bring me through this. You know, there's a reason you're going through this, no doubt. But God is with you. God will not turn his back on you. The devil will also take somebody and use against you. He may take somebody that is a total stranger to you, and he may take somebody that you know to try to put doubt in your head, to try to deter you from whatever it is that you're trying to do. I know I've seen times that you look out across a parking lot or a store or a restaurant or something, there'll be somebody in there, and just the look of them is so intimidating. They can intimidate you without even speaking to you. You know, that my son, a couple years ago, he was having an ordeal at school. He had this boy that was literally twice his size that kept messing with him. And not only that, my son was always real quiet, and there was most of his class would pick at him and aggravate him and kind of run over him because they knew that he wouldn't step up, he wouldn't say nothing. And he come to me, and he was telling me that this boy kept what he was doing. And I told him, I said, you know, son, you're going to have to step up. You're going to have to confront him. He keeps doing this because he knows you're not going to say nothing. You're going to take it. And every time he does it, he pushes it a little further and a little further. One day in the hall at school, my son had had enough. Kind of like Goliath, when he got up there and he spoke that last time, he pushed it one day too far. My son confronted him right there in the hall in front of everybody. And my son, at the time, probably weighed 80 pounds, and this other boy probably weighed 150. My son backed this boy down. From that day on, that boy has not said another word to my son. Not only that, all the other kids that messed with him at school and tried to run over him quit that day. Everything changed that day. All because my son took a step of faith and decided enough was enough, it stopped. You know, most of your bullies, they want to intimidate you, are scared themselves. They don't want to fight. They try to get where they go through life with intimidation, just like the devil. And he wants to try to push you to the point that you just cower down, that he breaks your spirit. You know, the way to get past all this and the intimidation, it's not easy. You know, it's easy to say to somebody, you know, just like my son Josh, you know, I know you're scared of this boy. Don't be scared of him. You know, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of faith to change that. It takes a lot to overcome the alcoholism and to resist it. Once you get free of drugs, you get free of the alcohol and that, there's still that temptation can be put in there. And if the devil sees an opportunity to plant that in back in you, even though you've already overcome it once, if he has an opportunity to put that back in your head, he's going to do it. And just to resist that drink or that pill or whatever it may be that's tempting you, that is part of the battle, is to overcome the intimidation of that. You know, the way to overcome this is to turn it over to God. You know, if you have doubt in your head, if you have intimidation, if you're afraid of something, turn it over to God. Ask God, say, okay, this is what I got. This is what's happening to me. Guide me, show me, tell me what it is that you need me to do, what I have to do to overcome this, to win this battle. You know, God is a rock. He is going to stand there. He is going to hold you. He's going to guide you and show you what it is that you need to do. He's not going to just turn his back on you and be intimidated. You know, our God is so much bigger than the devil and anything else that there is. All you got to do is take that step of faith. You know, in the hand of one of God's children, faith, that's the best weapon we've got against the devil. Because the devil cannot stand at the name of Jesus. He cannot be there. If you just turn it over to him, it may take a little time, but you will overcome it. You will take steps to overcome this. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, you really need to think about it. Need to look at where you stand with God. If you don't have all that faith, you need to step back and look. You need to start praying. You need to drop to your knees and talk to the Lord. You need to take time to get yourself right with the Lord. You know, it's not always an easy walk, but God is there. You know, over the past couple weeks, I have beat myself up. I have had it in my head not to talk this morning. I have told myself for weeks, I'm not ready to do this. But all it is the devil trying to deter me from this, trying to intimidate me to keep me from doing this. I had the thoughts like that all night long, all the way up to when I started speaking. I was battling this. And it's stronger than it's ever been. But you know what? I will not cower and let the devil intimidate me and keep me from doing what God wants me to do. You know, if you don't have God, you don't have nothing. God is everything. If you're not sure where you are in your walk with God, please talk to somebody that's walking in the faith. They can tell you what to do. They can give you some advice on where to go and help you through this, help you find God. He's not hard to find. He's right there with you right now. You know, there is a prayer that you can say if you want to be saved and turn your life over to the Lord and you haven't done so already. It's a sinner's prayer. I would like to say this with you right now. Just repeat with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I trust and follow you as my Lord and my Savior. Guide my life and help me to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Skip.
Thank you, Brother Luke. Amen. I'll tell you what, brother. Good preaching this morning. If you,
thank you.
Are listening and you went along with that prayer with Brother Luke, you followed through that prayer, or maybe you didn't and wish that you had them, I'm going to give you a phone number, 816-729-6649. Feel free to call. Be glad to pray with you, talk to you. If you've got any questions about the prayer that you just spoken, if you've got any questions about the conference line, if you've got any questions about other messages from Brother Luke or other people we have on the line, call that number, or you can write us at Extended Hands of God, Highway Ministry, P.O. Box 136, Bay City, Missouri, 64011. Thank you for joining us this morning, and God bless.